Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." This is the text. Advent is a season of preparation. Last week we heard in our gospel reading, Jesus told his disciples to stay awake, for you do not know on what day the Lord will return. This morning we hear in our gospel the words of the prophet Isaiah spoken about John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Last week we heard stay awake. This week we hear be prepared. How do we do this? How do we stay alert and prepared? How do we prepare for the coming of our Lord? That is what this Advent season is all about. The obvious ways that we see are with the putting up of Christmas lights, putting up decorations, buying presents. And those are all good things. Yet how does John tell us we are to prepare for the coming of our Lord? He says, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the New Testament, John has many titles applied to him. He's called the prophet. Next week in our gospel reading, we'll hear Jesus say that he was more than a prophet. He refers to him as the Elijah who was to come. He's called the messenger. He's called the witness. His most common title is the Baptist. However, no title describes him better than the words here from Isaiah, the voice. He is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. John lives and dies solely intent on performing this task that has been given to him by God. The man John is consumed by his office. The caller is consumed by his calling. John's call to repentance, it stirred all of Israel. His preaching was not like what the Jews were used to. John called upon them to confess their sins and have those sins washed clean in the waters of baptism. His teaching was so very different from that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We hear about these Pharisees and Sadducees coming out to where John was baptizing. And John does not allow any self-righteousness to be intermingled in his teaching and his preaching. And he says to these Pharisees and Sadducees, these teachers and misusers of the law, he says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come?" I wish I could preach like that. These men were not coming out into the desert to repent and be baptized. They're probably coming out there to see why all the people were so excited and why John was drawing such big crowds. And it wasn't for the venue, because it's not an easy walk from Jerusalem out to the Jordan River, and there's nothing out there. So these men who saw no need for repentance or confession of sin on their part, because after all, they weren't sinners like, you know, the rest of those people. In their mind, they were the pillars of purity and virtue, and they were the ones that everyone else should be looking up to. Later on, Jesus calls them whitewashed sepulchers. Oh, they're beautiful on the outside, but but on the inside they're filled with dead men's bones. When people were coming out to be baptized by John in the Jordan, he wasn't there to wash them on the outside. When he baptized them, it was a baptism of repentance to wash them on the inside, which is why it really doesn't matter how much water you use. It's the word of God that does the work. When he cried out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," he was calling them to repent. The word literally means to turn around, to turn away from your sin. Then in baptism, God washes clean all of the guilt of every sin, everything with which you have ever offended God. And because of the sacrifice of Christ, whose way John was preparing, those who heard John and received that baptism of repentance could live forever in true purity and righteousness and forgiveness. What a joy it is, the gifts of God that are brought to us through God's word and through our baptism. And that was how John prepared the people for the Lord to come. That is how we are prepared for the coming of Christ our Lord. Repenting of our sin, trusting in the forgiveness that our Savior has already brought to us, rejoicing in the faith and forgiveness of our baptism. Preparation for the Advent and Christmas seasons doesn't occur when you put up your Christmas tree or put up the inflatable Santa Claus riding on his motorcycle in the front yard. Oh, I am so thankful. We were in Walmart and Juliana saw they have now inflatable Darth Vaders holding a lightsaber. You know, nothing says Christmas like that. And I am so thankful that the Covenant and our condo association forbids anything like that to be in our yard. It was a much easier conversation to have. But this time of year, we hear people continually asking each other, "Well, are you ready for Christmas?" And the common answer is, "No, I haven't even started my shopping yet," or "No, I don't do any shopping until the week before." And answers like that have very little to do with the preparation, the actual preparation for the coming of our Lord. And decorating our homes and decorating our church to celebrate the incarnation of the Son of God is a great tradition. Buying gifts for your loved ones to celebrate the birth of Jesus is a great and long-standing Christian tradition. However, putting up the tree or hanging the lights or buying that first gift, that's not how you begin your preparation for this celebration of the coming of our Lord. Now, Christmas is a celebration that Christ has come. The preparation that we see during this time of Advent is a reminder that he who has come is coming again. Your preparation for the coming of Christ, it didn't start when you put up the first decorations or bought the first gift on your list. It started when your sins were washed clean in the waters of baptism. God prepared you for the coming of his Son when he called you to faith and welcomed you into his family of the church. We are prepared for the coming of Christ our Lord because of what our Lord has done for us. Not because of anything we have purchased or wrapped or laid under the Christmas tree. We are prepared for the coming of Christ because of what Christ purchased with his own blood. We're prepared for the coming of Christ because Christ our Lord, that baby who was born there in Bethlehem, was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he was wrapped in his burial cloth and laid in a closed tomb. and we are prepared for his coming, because that wrapping in that tomb could not hold the Son of God. The joy that we have at Christmas is not the joy of opening presents on Christmas morning. The joy that we have is the joy of Christ's tomb opening on Easter morning. This is a most wonderful time of the year, because that child born in Bethlehem is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And because the Son of God has come, and we have received that sure promise that he is coming again, and he has already brought everything that you need in regard to the forgiveness of sins, the hope of eternal life, which is no vain hope. But Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. And God has promised that he has known you from eternity. And he has prepared you from the day that you were baptized. He has prepared you to receive our Lord once again. Just as John the Baptist, the voice, prepared the way for Christ's ministry, the voice of Christ heard in his church has prepared you as God's people, not only to celebrate the birth of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but you are prepared to hear our Lord's voice when he comes once again. Amen.